I don't have much of a recap. You saved Quill from petrification after he had a little conversation with Clogan, the petrified stone giant. And it was a very horny episode for some reason. eventually, you made it to the Medusa Bridge, where you tracked her down in her canyon and killed her. And Quill very nearly was petrified again. That was close. Very close. Which would have been pretty funny. Do it all over again.
Just feedback loop.
Yep.
So we definitely need some snake fangs, right? And we know that we need them.
Yeah. You need to harvest something from the Medusa corpse. Medusa,
right.
And have special we ingredient. Determine that Bardics can be used for harvest rolls?
Yeah, sure.
All right, cool.
Yeah. I don't see why not.
Well, Vizel sure as fuck isn't touching that shit.
Yeah, I'm also not down there, and I'm not sure how Rick would get down there, so he'll just...
Fucking
you good down there, Quill?
Just eat your body.
Yeah, since I'm down here, I'll go ahead and harvest.
Because it's like a 50-foot drop, right?
Yeah, 50 feet. That's right.
If this is another sub-5, I'm going to roll from my other dice again.
Tell me what you're going for. Like, what part of her anatomy are you going to use?
The hair. The okay. Snake hair.
Cool. Okay. Did you get a
Bardic? Sub-5. He's safe.
Oh, I missed it.
A 6.
It?
Do I need to use my Bardic? Can I use my Bardic?
6 gets you 1. You get one snake.
Okay.
One snake dreadlock. And then the rest of them like hiss at you and turn to stone.
Does she have any stuff on her? The Medusa.
You could do just a regular investigation.
Okay. Jesus, 9. Plus, yeah, 10.
10. Okay. She's pretty scantily clad, if you'll recall, but she did have some gold, like a snake, like one of those wraparound snake bracelets on her upper arm. Which might be valuable.
Okay. I'll go ahead and take that.
Slip that off.
I'll take that.
Yeah, it's just it's a nice piece of gold jewelry, so you might find a buyer who wants that.
Okay.
At some point. So you're here in this mostly dried up riverbed canyon. I would guess it's like afternoonish.
Are there signs of a lair?
I was thinking her lair was that cave. Could be wrong about that though.
I think you were in her lair last time, or the time before that, even because you went in there and you found a bunch of petrified bodies of random people in that little cave that's lit to the southeast or southwest of the bridge entrance. And I think you found on a really bad roll, you found like a common quality magic lantern that allows you to cast Thaumaturgy once per day.
What's that spell do?
It's like a spooky version of prestidigitation, right? You can like make your voice boom or like loudly shut a door.
Prestidigitation for non-wizards.
Yeah. Last episode was the horny episode. This is going to be the sick episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going around, man. God. I've gotten sick twice in the last month. Like four weeks.
I'm finally healthy. It's like, but I was sick for several weeks.
It's killer.
Yeah, I get sick twice too.
Is there anything else that I can harvest from this Medusa aside from the? I mean, I assume that she's got like, or did she just turn to stone entirely?
No, I think all of her little snakes turned to stone and fell off her head after you took one of them.
I have a question.
Okay.
I was wondering if My idea was to, like, take her head and open her eyelids to try to make enemies turn to stone. So I'm wondering if, like, that would be possible if you opened Deadeye Medusa or not.
All right, I'm just gonna. I'm bringing her up here.
So the answer to that question, I'm gonna rule is no, because the petrifying gaze. It's not just that the creature sees Medusa's eyes; it's that they see her eyes, and she decides to force it to make a con save.
Okay.
So she has to be. She has to be awake for that.
That's very fair.
Cool idea, though. Fucking
yeah! I was just gonna put her head on my staff.
Jesus Christ.
Pull like a Kratos from God of War 3.
That's kind of that's right. Maybe I'll do that anyway. I think it's like a little bit too dark for my character though, so yeah, never mind.
Either way, I'm gonna bring up the Medusa to the bridge.
Are you just like spending half an hour finding footholds and climbing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it would take you a little bit, but that's fine. You're just, like, holding her with one arm. Her body's, like, banging on the rocks.
Yeah.
As you go up.
Yeah, I, like, tie a rope around myself and the other end of it to the body, and it's just, like, swinging below me, just, like, hitting shit.
Could we recognize any of the people that were petrified? Like, do we...
I don't think you tried. I mean, they're still down there, so if you wanted to do that, you could.
It was kind of hard for me to get down there and back up.
What do you want me to do before I get up there?
Could you see if you recognize any of the people that have been petrified in our lair?
I can do that.
Or see if there's like a pattern to who's been coming this way towards the necromancy shit.
Yeah.
Quill is like spent a half an hour like laboriously climbing. He's like 5 feet from the top, and he's like sweating. And Vizel's,
yeah.
Can you go check? Can you go back down?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
What a guy.
So I go back down. I mean, should I do like a?
You're trying to see if you recognize any of the frozen.
Yeah,
bodies.
Perception?
I think probably investigation.
Okay.
I hate how useful that skill is, because it gets used all the time, but...
Halfling luck! Oh my god, okay, I'm done with this. Four, so five.
No,
I'm moving on. This is honestly shit.
It's cursed.
Last time, I had nothing.
The luck will turn. Statistically speaking.
See, that's why you need to like physically roll.
Bullshit.
Yeah, you just see a bunch of unfamiliar faces.
I climb back up. Well, didn't recognize anybody.
Are you sure you don't want to check again?
Yep. Pretty sure.
All right, I'm going to do a dorky thing and say, like, hey, can we do a huddle and figure out what we're doing next?
Not dorky.
I vote. I mean, the reason that we came up here before was that we wanted to investigate the monsters, the source of the monsters. And then we discovered...
As Quill says, I vote, Vizel starts rummaging through her pack and pulls out the contract and says, nobody gives a shit what your vote is. So what do you want to do?
So I just stopped talking.
Got him.
Vizel just starts walking towards the direction of the necromancy shit. Just silently just starts moving.
Okay. So
Vizel, what's next? What
I think we're trying to check out what's causing all of that, those things to come back to life and attack the town every night that killed those people that we were in that fight that we were involved in. I mean, I'm pretty grossed out by the whole idea of dead stuff, but I kind of feel a little bad because we were there and those people died.
I'm glad you're developing a moral compass.
So that would take you even further northwest into the swamp, if that's what you guys want to do. I'm picturing you, if you pull up the map, I'm picturing that you've gotten about a day's out of Whitehaven. So you're kind of along that path. You're kind of near that, like, that wheat field with the pumpkins on the map.
Yeah.
And so another day's journey would get you to the near the wall that was built around the Grung. Yeah.
All right, as an aside, have we met any Grung yet?
No, we haven't. Yeah.
They're like frog people, aren't they, or something?
Yep.
Or did I hallucinate that? Okay.
Yep, that's correct.
I'm excited about meeting Grung people.
Cool.
All right, fearless leader, where to?
We start heading north, I believe. Following our previous path.
Okay, yeah. I do think this is going to require a night camping, because I don't think you brought the blazers with you.
We did not.
We definitively did not.
Good.
Why didn't we?
That's a great question. Poor leadership.
That's so refreshing.
Vazel would never say that. That was out of like that.
Yeah. Vazel let somebody else lead for one 30-second decision. Look what happened.
It goes down. Shitter.
It all went to shit. Here we are without fire-breathing rats. Wouldn't that be cool if we had fire-breathing rats? Yeah, that's what I thought too.
So you're traveling. You've left the Medusa's Bridge behind and the river. You go deeper into the swamp. It's more of the same. Lots of dead trees. The vines are kind of growing thicker out here. There's like dead vines hanging off of some of the dead trees. A little bit greener as you get further away from the cauldron. But you do notice that there is occasionally ash and dust that's kind of intermixed with everything. You come upon a clearing of dead trees, and there lies a small blue-skinned figure in the ground. It is partially submerged in swamp water, with exposed body parts covered by a thin layer of ash. The figure is dressed in a frayed traveler's robe, clutching a satchel in one hand and a simple note in the other.
I go, hey, can I read your note?
There's no response.
Okay, I think it's dead, guys.
Quill, can you poke it?
I take out my pull of collapsing, and I extend it.
Okay.
And I tap the figure.
So can you put it between your legs first?
I look over and I tap it again. I do not put it between my legs.
I've seen that trick before.
It's about your size, Quill. It's small. It's a small humanoid, and it kind of just, you know, sorry, when you prod it, it pushes the body a little bit, and then it sinks back into place.
He's dead, Jim.
Vazel walks up and starts reading the note.
Okay. When you get closer, you get a better look at this thing, and it looks like one of those poison tree frogs. Those really brightly hued tree frog, like little tree frog guys. You know what I'm talking about? What they call poison dart tree frogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So very bright hues of color with shiny black spots. This one happens to be blue. But you see that it's kind of gray, it's kind of like ashen and grayed out a little bit, and it's covered with ash partially. So its skin is not as sticky as you might expect. And the note just says three words written in crude common. It says dust is kill.
Say that again.
Dust is kill.
Dust is dust. Kill.
Yep.
Anything in its satchel? What's in its satchel?
Yeah, it's partially submerged in like muck in the swamp. So you want to give me an investigation?
Bazal's not doing that shit. It's submerged in muck? Nah.
Yeah.
I'd be interested. I'll do it.
Yeah, go for it.
15 plus 6 is 21.
Oh, okay. You find a scroll in there that you are able to keep from getting submerged in the brackish swamp water. You pull the scroll.
Guys,
out
I found
of
a scroll.
Damn.
You pull it out, and it's so like it was like a walking stick that he had that had like a little satchel attached to it. The scroll it has words written on it that you don't understand, Theron.
Even with my amazing languages.
What do you speak?
I'm pretty sure I have a spell. I don't know if it's ready though. About comprehend my ritual comprehend languages, but I do not have that prepared right now. But languages are Dwarvish, Elvish, Draconic.
Yeah, the letters are like, they're not anything you recognize. They're kind of like little smudges and like short dashes and dots.
So I get the sense that it's like an encrypted code.
No. And I didn't mean to lean you that way. It's just being descriptive. It's not Morse code.
Oh, okay.
It looks like a very primitive language. This tree frog humanoid was writing on their scroll.
So we need a long rest for me to get comprehend languages back.
Which I think we're going to have to do. We have to camp.
Yeah, we do have to camp. So what I would do is be like, guys, I got this scroll. Let's pass it around. Anybody can make any sense of it? I don't really understand it right now. Which is very difficult for me to say as a scholarly wizard.
Yeah. No kidding.
But I'm just gonna go with it. I don't know what this means. What do you guys think?
Oh, I think it's a magic scroll. I think, you know, it's not giant, is it?
It's not.
I think it's one of those things where you can use it to cast a spell. You know, I just assumed Theron you'd have known that. I'm surprised you didn't, frankly.
I really embarrassed.
Ready to move on, I suppose. Should we find a good spot to set up camp?
I suppress my desire to crinkle it up and throw it at your face, Bazal. Because it really, inside, makes me feel terrible as a professor for somebody to say, why didn't you know this? Because my whole life is about figuring things out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Can't Rick just like read stuff? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, I've been looking. I'm trying to figure out if I can. I feel like it's an option, but I don't know if I have it.
It was either that you could read stuff or you could understand spoken language. I thought you could read stuff, but maybe I'm wrong.
I wonder if I had that and now don't have that.
Okay.
I wonder if I got rid of it.
Well, I was gonna, while you check, I was gonna do a medicine check on the body.
Okay, great. Yeah. What's your
to maybe see what he like what it died from? I'm assuming it's from I think I'm like gathering that it maybe this dust like has caused the death of the people of this guy, but I'm still gonna check. Jesus Christ. 12.
Yeah. From what you know about amphibious creatures, his skin seems quite dry and cracked.
Okay. Mm.
Bizelle is gonna investigate this dust to see if she can determine so a list of things that this dust may actually be would be like ash, which is how you first described it. So like burned wood, or like a fungus, or spores, or like truly dust from like a poisoned dirt source. Can she roll and investigate to see if she can figure out like animal, mineral?
20 question time.
On the dust.
Questions. I scoop some up and I'm like, I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Yes. We're back.
Yeah, maybe Giselle just says, maybe you know more about funguses. Do you want to ask that question, Theron?
Oh, what kind of check would that be?
To use, because we've already, have we investigated it yet? Or we investigated?
I don't think we've done that. That was a medicine check to see what killed him. I assume you'd allow nature or investigation.
If it's investigation, I would be very eager to investigate.
Let's do nature, but let's do it at nature? Advantage. Let's do it at advantage because of there are reasons.
Okay. So I would get the best roll with a +3.
Yep.
Ooh, I don't think I'll beat a 19, but I'll try. Okay, 19 plus 3.
Yeah, you've spent a lot of time around this ash. This is the same stuff that gets spewed from the cauldron when it gets spun up.
Yo, this is all from the cauldron. I can tell. Maybe it'll settle down now that we mess with it. Maybe the Grung will approve of us for helping them with the ash problem.
We were moving the opposite way from the cauldron.
Yeah, so we're on the... Well, that makes sense still, right? Because the cauldron probably spews ash.
Oh, you're saying up and out? But this is where we were stationed, and we went north. Mm-hmm. And the cauldron would have been south, west.
Well, can't it spew shit? That was my thought. If it's erupting and...
Without us seeing it from our city? And, noticing that it fucking erupted and did crazy shit.
Okay, so maybe the ash is not from the cauldron is what you're saying?
Well, I think there may be a second cauldron.
Oh, shit. That's mind-blowing.
That's not on the map.
Who's got the flute? Do we still have the flute? Where's the ocarina?
Didn't we leave? Oh, did we take the ocarina but left the other? No, the ocarina got fused with the other thing, right? How did that work?
You still have not fused the ocarina with the bellows. So I think you have both the ocarina and the bellows in your possession.
Interesting. So maybe there's other cauldrons out there that we should probably not fight because it seems to be next level. Okay.
Or we could fight without me basically spending all of my time trying to protect the one dude.
Well, I know there's ash and a dead frog, but do you guys think this would be should we travel some more and then camp, or what do you think, fearless leader?
So at first I was in agreement with you, but in retrospect, this is probably a safe spot. This person was clearly trying to get away from the ash. There's probably going to be more ash the further we go. So my guess is this is the safest of the spots available to us.
So this is a red flag. That we're entering a dangerous area full of weird ash.
Yeah, with the dead body.
Yeah, sounds ominous. Maybe I should sleep on that.
I think that you guys, as you've been traveling, you've probably just noticed this ash. It's kind of ubiquitous because the cauldron's huge. And it was going. It was really going for a while there. I guess we haven't really ever talked about it, but it's probably been you probably are trudging through it all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Except for, the ash only kills the Grung nuggets. What happened at the end when we defeated the cauldron thing? Did it, stop boiling and spewing, or did it get...
Well, it did, but Galandra stayed behind with the intent to reverse engineer the conch and stir shit back up again to try to capture some elementals.
Did, do they know that the Grung exist?
Oh, man. I think the only sign... Did they ever meet a Grung? That takes us back to the quiet year. I think there was a Grung ambassador that came to town at one point, but I don't think much happened with it.
It's unlikely to think that they're intentionally trying to commit genocide.
Yeah. Galandra, for all his faults, seems like a pretty decent guy. Okay. Yeah.
not intentionally genocidal.
Right. At his very worst, he's not intentionally genocidal.
It is called the Ash Fort, so.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting. Wonder if the guys have studied this at all.
Good question.
Well, I get concerned with all this conversation. I'm like, should we send a message down sentient beings with this ash killing them to stop with the experiments with the cauldron for now? So we don't spew any more ash.
Seems like a good idea.
Yeah, but I think that's a reasonable thing to do.
How would you do that?
Is there a way we can send a message without having to travel all the way back?
If only I had a familiar that could fly, that'd be really nice.
I do. I'll wait.
Maybe carry.
Might actually be dead though.
Well, we used to have those walkie-talkie things, right?
I don't think he ever made them.
I think we do have free party communication.
Did we make them or not? I don't remember. I just remember them being a thing that we could utilize.
I thought we had a set.
But I think you discovered how to make them and made plans to make a set, but didn't do it.
Did we also decide whether it could you could communicate between the two different dimensions?
It specifically can do that, yes.
Okay, cool. Yep, that's what I thought. I remember. It would be a way for us to talk to everybody in, like,
yep,
both worlds if we ever made it back.
It's the 5e spell sending.
Vizel starts setting up her tent. She's posting up her bedroll. She's getting ready. She finds the driest spot with the least amount of mud.
Do I get a sense of how far away the cauldron is right now?
Yeah. You would by now have a pretty good sense of direction. And I think it's about, looking at the map, it's about a day and a half travel.
Oh boy.
Whereas Whitehaven's like a day from where you are. So it's not that far away.
It'd be hard for me to, like, leave the group to, like, deliver the message, because I'd have to try to catch up over 3 days, and I might get attacked by things. I'll think about it, and also climb into the tent with Bazelle.
So, yeah, you guys you're in, like, a swamp forest clearing. The surroundings are, like I said, dead trees now, and there's some kind of, like, hanging thick green vines.
I'm gonna climb into a tree.
Okay.
And sleep in a tree.
That's dangerous.
It is.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. But I'm not, like, trying to sap you. I'm just like, that's dangerous, and I go into the tent.
Yeah. old man river.
Do whatever you want, but I'll give you some real wisdom and then walk away. These Gen Zers, I tell ya.
So are you guys going to try to long rest in the wilderness at night in the Dreadmarsh?
When you put it like that.
Put it like that, yeah.
Sounds like a great idea.
I mean, it's like nighttime, right? Like, we've walked as far as we can walk in a day.
Yep.
No, I mean,
yeah.
Oh.
We can keep traveling at night in the Dreadmarsh.
Yeah.
We can stop and sleep. Do we need to, like, keep watch? Can we all get a long rest in if we take shifts?
If each person takes a 2-hour shift of watch, because watch apparently is, like, considered a light, low effort duty in this world. So yeah.
Well, maybe we should do that.
For the first person doing the watch, I'll cast invisibility on them.
That's cool as hell.
Oh yeah, shit! I can just dump some, like, goodies on people, huh?
Yeah, as long as you don't get into a fight, you can't.
Yeah. So the What would watch be more intelligence or wisdom?
It would be perception, which is, I believe, wisdom-based.
All right. Then I'm going to cast Owl's Wisdom, and I'm going to actually cast it on everybody.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So you all have advantage on wisdom-based checks, ability checks, and then she's going to go to sleep.
Who's doing first watch?
Don't start your long rest yet, because you haven't made it through the night.
Okay. I mean, don't give myself my slots back.
Correct.
Okay.
I could do it. I could do first watch, but don't waste the invisibility on me. I have my own tricks up my sleeve.
Oh, okay. I was just going to try to burn it since we're long resting.
I'll take it.
You can do it on, like, yeah, Munker.
Okay. I'll cast it on you.
I think Bazelle just needs to make it 4 hours, right?
I'm a half elf, so I think I need 8, actually.
Oh, okay. So do we have a marching order here? I have a plan for how this is going to mechanically play out, but who's first?
I can go first.
All right.
I'll go second.
Okay, cool, second.
I'll do third shift.
I've got a fair number of slots left. Do you want me to go third, so that if we do get into a fight, you'd have all your slots back for it?
Okay.
I'll go third.
Old men need to sleep. I'll leave it up to you young bucks.
So
guard the tent and the trees. Apparently this is how Theron talks now. Sorry.
Theron's picked up Theron spent too much time with Rash.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay, so Theron and Quill and Bazelle lay down, go to sleep. Rick, what is your plan for your 2-hour watch tonight?
Ooh, I was gonna use my free disguise self and make myself look like the Medusa.
Okay.
Ooh, cool.
So I'm nice. Real intimidating, like.
Yep.
And I'll just kind of, you know, sit against a sit up against a rock or tree or whatever around the marsh.
Very cool.
Intimidating.
Just preen your snake. Yep. Your snake hair. Okay. So, well, why don't you roll intimidation with advantage?
Oh, I'm good at that. All right. +4 on that. Okay.
You used a very specific buzzword there, so we'll go with that.
So 14 +4 is my best roll, so 18.
18? Yep. That beats the DC. You hear some shuffling occasionally in the trees around the camp for a minute, and then they pause for a second, and you hear them kind of yelp and run off. Who's next? It's Quill.
Yep.
Quill wakes up and sees a fucking Medusa.
Ooh, I have a question. If you cast Invisible on somebody and they're like fighting Medusa, are they affected by Medusa?
I think the Medusa would have to. That's how I would rule it. It doesn't specify, but it's based on her eyes, so she would have to like see. So yeah.
So work. It's not so much like you see Medusa, so you're stoned. It's,
you both see each other looking at each other in the eyes, and then she makes you make a con save.
Okay.
Do you guys want to find another one?
No, that was scary enough the first time.
So I'm going to wake up and I'm going to assume that this Medusa is evil, unless maybe I should roll for it.
Well, or if Rick wants to. I was mostly joking, but.
Oh, yeah, I can just like, you know, undisguise myself.
Yeah.
People freak out. Oh, well, guys, it's just me. It's Rick. Yeah. And I just go and lay down.
Rick was cosplaying his favorite new bad girl.
Yeah, was that or Dingle Dangle?
Yeah. All right, Quill, what's the move?
Yeah, I'm just gonna stay in the trees and watch for any creatures. I feel like I've got a good vantage point here.
So I believe you have the blessing to wisdom, right?
I think I'm invisible, and I got the owl's owl's wisdom.
Nice. Okay. The invisibility I think would negate being like up in the trees where people can see you. So.
Okay. Well, I kind of wanted to do it to like have a vantage point to see. Like to see, have a better view of what's going on below me. Nice. But maybe it's not.
No, I think you have that view. So I guess a perception check is that's at advantage, right?
Yep. 15.
Okay. This DC I set at a number that's been going up by one each time we do this. So you've beat it. Okay. So part of your perception is that you hear some like click sounds or like kind of like, croaking sounds occasionally when you're while you're up for 2 hours, but you stay vigilant and you are able to make sure nobody like gets too close.
Okay.
Anything else you want to do, or is that?
I don't think so.
Okay. Cool. That's halfway through the night. Who's next?
I am. I roll a perception.
If you're just like looking out to warn people, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's all I should do. Uh-oh, 4.
That's not an advantage for you?
Let me see if I can cast it on myself. I did use a 4th level slot for it. Yes, is what the internet says.
That's enhanceability, right?
Yeah, that's better. 16.
Okay. You almost miss there's like a mass of like some of the vines that are hanging down from one of those dead trees starts to kind of like twitch a little bit, and you almost miss it. You're focused on, you're thinking about something, looking at the fire. And then you turn over and see it. And when you look at it, it stops moving.
Mm.
I tell Theron when we're switching the guard that I saw the tree move and that Quill told me that there was some croaking.
Mm.
Do you know anything about moving trees?
I kind of wake up and my back really hurts. And I was like, I'm too old for this shit. And so I like, get up and I was like, what are you talking about moving trees? Like, just let me go back to bed. Man, I'm too old for this.
They're all going to take a second watch.
No, I'm too beautiful to do that.
I sigh and roll my eyes and just like slowly get up. I'm like, hey, can you give me a hand? I'm like, I'm just sore. Like, this so-called tent you made up is not comfortable.
I give him a bardic inspiration. I don't know how I do that, but I do. I say some cool shit.
Don't fuck this up, old man.
Yeah.
Like, stand up. I'm like, thank you. You know, I need this inspiration after like such a terrible rest. And then I leave the tent. I'm like, ah, man, I'm half asleep. Fuck are these tree things all these kids are talking about? And so I like walk up to one of the vines and just kind of examine it and see if I have any idea if I understand what the foliage is or like what kind of tree it is or what this vine is.
Yep.
Not sure what kind of check that would be. If it's like, I would definitely think, is it magical? And also it historically, do I come across this in my studies at all?
Yeah, I think Arcana is fine.
All right, I'll do an Arcana, which is +3+ Ooh, another +6 Fuck yeah. I'm so smart. 16+6
Yeah, you, from the description that you were given, so I assume you haven't, like, touched this thing.
I was just looking at it, and yeah, I haven't touched it.
Okay. From the description you were given, you are aware of these, like, living vine creatures that are predatory and, like, live in swamps. You've heard of, they're called shambling mounds. And it sounds like, from what you were told, that potentially could be in somewhere in the vicinity.
What's somewhere in the vicinity?
Here, I'll put
it. Like, I already knew the vines would be maybe around here, you mean? Or what?
From what you were told, that there is apparently a sentient vine creature that moved a little bit and then stopped moving when Bazelle looked at it. That makes you think of, like, yeah, there's something called a shambling mound.
Okay, got it.
Kind of matches that description.
I kind of, like, slowly back away and try to just not disturb them as much as possible. And then I'm just going to sit cross-legged and, like, wait by the tent.
How good was your Arcana? You say it was like a 22?
22.
16+6 is 22.
You would also know that they are blind past a certain distance. Like they sense movement. They can't see.
But they sense movement?
Right. Yep.
Oh. Okay. I would like, if I knew that, I would like try to be as still as possible.
Okay. Sure. I think with that kind of an Arcana check and that knowledge, you would make it through the rest of the way. Yeah, so, okay, so you guys are going to all get a long rest. The DCs there started at 10 and went to 11, 12, and 13.
Bang.
Woot.
Yep, so recharge. At some point, as the faint sunlight's coming up, Theron would see that, like, the vines, like, not all the vines, but there's, like, some vines on one tree branch, particularly a thick tree branch that, like, slips away and, like, moves off into the swamp.
Do they hear? Do I know if they hear or not?
Yeah, they probably do.
I ask because what?
Yeah.
Would they, like, sense sounds? I was just going to yell to the party about it if they didn't.
They would. Yeah, if you yelled, they might hear that.
Okay. Okay. In the sense that it might be safe to move back now that they've kind of left, or no?
They've gone and left as your long rest was finishing.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it. They're kind of creepy looking.
Shambling mound. Yep. I think there's a halfling stuck in there.
Yikes. Oh my god, there is. Looks terrified though.
Yeah. Doesn't look good.
Alright, so I definitely now understand comprehend languages.
Okay.
So I would like to ritual cast that and look at the scroll.
Cool. Yeah. That takes a little bit of time. What's everyone else doing?
Getting ready for the day.
Beautifying.
Putting on my face.
Just chilling.
Yeah, Rick's just hanging out.
What are haircuts like for Bazelle at this time in her life? I mean, they're probably like a big struggle, right? Like, fuck's she gonna get a haircut?
She just got like dead ends.
Yeah. He's not pleased about it.
All right, so ritual casting comprehend languages. What's the verbiage on that?
For the duration, you understand the literal meaning of any spoken language that you hear. Oh, shit. You also understand any written language that you see. Sweet. But okay. You must be touching the surface on which the word is written. It takes about 1 minute to read one page of text. The spell doesn't decode secret messages in a text or a glyph, such as an arcane sigil that isn't part of your written language.
Yeah, they really go out of their way to be like, you can't cheat a riddle with the spell.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Okay.
But I am touching it, so.
Yep, sure. Yeah. You the crude dots and dashes kind of rearrange into common in front of your eyes. And you see this is indeed a spell scroll. It's for the
obviously.
You're gonna hate me, but it's for the spell Liamun's Tiny Hut.
Yes,
which would have been pretty useful overnight. But you guys made it. So yeah.
We'll nice. For the next time.
Yeah, it's a third level. It's a third level spell.
Now he can copy that into his book and like just have access to it forever, right? Like,
yeah, I think so.
Fuck yeah, dude. I mean, that's what he needs to do. How long does that take him?
I think I have that written down somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's a thing.
Ridiculous amount of time, right? Isn't it like 8 hours per level or some fucking?
It takes a while and it costs some gold, but it's usually worth it because it's a free spell.
Bonkers.
Basically.
I think it's spellbook, so 2 hours plus 50 GP times the spell level, if I wrote that down correctly.
That sounds right to me, yep.
So that would be 6 hours plus 150 GP.
Yep. We haven't used gold in a while in this game, so I don't know where you guys are at with that, but...
Yeah, I was just looking that up.
I'm rich, bitch.
I have my sheet says I have 275, so.
That sounds about right. You guys have made some and you haven't really spent it yet, so.
When I have like 6 hours to burn, I could get that into my spell book.
Cool. I'm gonna backtrack a little bit. It's not Liamun's Tiny Hut, it's called Vrek's Tiny Hut.
Is it still third level?
Same spell. It just has a different name because it's written in Grung, so. You could surmise that the name of this blue skins poison dart frog in front of you is Vrek.
Well, he must have been in a bad way if he died before he could get his hut up. Maybe there is something else going on.
Oh, Vrek. Dang it, almost yep. Like Rick.
Kind of sounds like a ribbit, like Vrek, Vrek.
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 Sweet, well, I'm ready to move on if everybody else is...
Yeah, let's do it. I'm intrigued by the Grung, but let's figure out what these undead are. Or towards where the necromancy is coming from to see what we can solve. What's going on with those undead?
Yeah, which as you understand it, it's like vaguely northwest of Whitehaven, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure, it would take you about another day's march to get to the Grung Wall, the Palisade Wall that the Whitehaveners built long ago. That was one of the earlier projects, I think. How are you guys traveling?
Can you remind me why they built a wall?
Well, they were assured that somebody else would pay for it. They built it because... So there was a perceived threat, I think, because there was like a giant dead rat at the very start of the whole quiet year. And there was like a fear in it or something. I think that was one of the early discoveries. And then it was alluded to that the Grung had killed that giant rat. Maybe simplifying it here. And then so they just assumed that there was a threat in the northwest and built like a kind of a loose palisade wall. It was described as like a not very tight fitting, just kind of a basic wooden wall. Just a big, beautiful wall.
I mean, I think we approach the wall and see if there are Grung there.
Yeah, okay. So you guys are traveling. It's morning, late morning now. You've been moving along this path. There's still kind of like a beaten path in the dirt. And the in between trees in the swamp, you would come upon the trees start to get thicker, and there's a lot of that like vine cover as you get further away from the cauldron. It seems that the climate out here is a little bit more temperate, so there's a little bit more greenage. And you would come about a half of the way or two thirds of the way from where you are to the wall when you would hit a pretty dense thicket of dead of forest that's again dead trees and then a bunch of like heavy vine cover that stands in between you and where you think the grung wall is located.
Mm. And the wall is something we could like get over pretty easily.
You've never seen it.
Oh, we don't see it yet. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Yep. This I hesitate to call it a forest because it's like it's dead tree. It's a bunch of it's like thicker dead trees that are covered in like a foliage of those of like thick green vines that have been kind of like, well, I don't know if you want to do it, you want to do like a check or something. It seems that they've been draped over the trees. It's kind of hard to see them.
Is this their shelter? Is this like part of their living quarter? Are there footprints and shit underneath there? Is it like cleared out or is it like?
Yeah, hit me with a survival. Hit me with a survival check for the footprint question.
It's actually a one. Crit fail.
Okay. You, you
I start singing, down. I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor.
That's good. I like that. We'll go with that.
He's a survivor. Vines. Vines. Vines.
Vines are so old, Theron. God.
Yeah.
Get it together, man.
Yeah. I can relate to them. They're like
from the Queen of the Book of Faces. Vines are old. So I'll say you're about like 50 feet away from this dark forest.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
I mean, I'm ready to go in.
Yeah. So I was going to use prestidigitation and loudly state, we are ambassadors of the people to the south. We've come to explore the undead and where the undead are coming from and who may be causing it.
Like a booming voice?
Yes. Yeah, I think there's like an actual distance that my voice can reach.
It's up to three times as loud.
Okay.
I mean, you're 50 feet away, so you can shout. It's quiet out. Give me a persuasion check at disadvantage, Bazelle.
I rolled two threes, but I add 10 to persuasion. So 13.
Okay, not bad. All the same, a dart comes whizzing out of the thicket, the foliage, and lands like right at your feet.
Dang.
It's like a blow dart.
I'm moving to the front of this.
After does it have those cute fuzzy feathers on it?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Vizel is going to pick up the dart and save it for later to try to fashion into a necklace of some sort.
Okay. be careful, it's sharp, and it's you. So yeah, give me a sleight of hand check as you pick up this dart, which is coated with poison.
10.
Okay, it slips in your hand for a second, but then you catch the back end of it and don't poke yourself with the poison tip. Pretty close though.
If it was a 9, would he be screwed?
You'll never know.
I'll never tell.
Vizel's going to try again, and she's going to say, well, if you don't know much about the undead, we may be able to help stop the ash. I haven't seen you, but I think one of your kind we found on our way here. Does the name Vehemen mean anything to you?
Are you using the word Vehemen on purpose, or do you mean Vrek?
Vrek.
Okay.
Yes, Vrek.
This time another dart comes sailing out of the forest, and it lands about 20 feet from the edge of the forest. So it's a lot shorter.
I start walking towards it. I think that this may be a trail of breadcrumbs, and that for some reason they can't, like there's a magical, can I tell if there's a magical barrier preventing communication other than via dart?
I think you're still pretty far away.
Okay, I move towards it.
Okay,
so I also you're walking collect towards that one. Yeah, to collect
so you're,
it.
You're walking towards the forest edge?
The dart. I'm walking straight towards where the dart landed.
So you're still 20 feet. You're 20 feet away from the edge now.
Okay, I pick up the dart.
Yep.
I have a question.
Okay.
Silent speech. Do I have to see the creature to speak to it? The way I read it is, you can speak telepathically to any creature within 30 feet of you.
Okay.
The creature understands you only if the two of you share a language. You can speak telepathically in this way to one creature at a time. That says to me, I don't have to see it. It just has to be within 30 feet.
Okay. I think the wording there is loose enough to allow that. Yep.
All right. So while we move forward, I'm just going to try to like reach out with my mind to whatever creature is nearby with like we mean no harm, essentially.
Okay. So my understanding is that only Bazelle has reached out diplomatically and started to move forward.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to move forward as well.
So if you're starting at 50 feet, you're going to start moving forward. A dart's going to come. So that's fine. You start doing that. A dart comes flying out and lands at your feet at like 45 feet.
To me?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I stop then. And then I sit down. I sit down cross-legged and start meditating.
Give me a perception check as you free your mind.
Jesus Christ. 8. Literally the worst rolls of all time.
Dude, yeah, you are struggling big time. Okay. I mean your mind is clear, it's quiet. You don't hear anything. You don't see anything in the dense thicket.
Rick will also start walking towards the forest.
Are you talking or are you just walking?
Not saying anything, just walking.
All right, same deal. There's going to be a dart that comes flying out almost right away and lands right at your feet.
I kind of look at it, and then I take a non-threatening step over the dart.
Okay. I think we have to roll initiative then.
Ah!
Oh, shit!
Damn it. My other thought, I was going to teleport in and see what happened. Probably would have been this.
Theron's got 15.
18 for Rick.
9. Nat 4. Welcome to the core 4.
Yes. A 9.
9.
I was really hoping these guys were all bark and no bite, you know?
Yeah.
The Grung in general?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
8.
Right.
Okay, Rick.
You move forward without speaking, and a dart flies out and crashes to your feet, kind of plunges right into the muck. And then you step over it, and a second dart comes out. So I'm going to roll for that attack to see if it hits you.
Rick just straight up dies.
That's going to be a 5 plus 6 to hit 11.
Oh, it misses. Yes.
Okay. So that sails just over your shoulder, but it seems like this one was different. Like he was trying to hit you. So Rick, you're up.
I'm guessing I don't really see a whole lot, yeah? Just
nope, darts there's flying just darts out of... flying out of this.
Okay, I guess I'll keep trying to walk forward.
Okay.
So I'll just do my maximum movement kind of straight ahead. I'm probably not there yet.
Make an intimidation check for me.
Okay. 9.
Okay. Okay. So you get to, let's see, I said you were 50 away. You were 45 away, I think, at the start. So you can move how far?
I think 30.
30? Okay. So you get to the 15 feet from the forest edge. And then what?
And that's all I'm going to do for now. Just walking.
Okay.
I'm going to just be like, oh, hey, don't hurt me. And then I keep, then now it's not my turn.
Okay, so after Rick's turn, you hear a nasally voice emerge from the forest edge. Let me think. I'm trying to think how this would play out. Sorry.
We come from France.
It says, you said you saw Rick. What did he look like and what did he have on him? Answer quickly.
He was blue and he had his satchel. He was covered in ash. He had a note that stated that the ash was death. I think that's what got him. He was wearing traveler's cloak.
Gosh, that's actually very descriptive.
I'm impressed. I would have gotten maybe a tenth of that.
I would have just said he's blue frog.
I thought it was a toad.
What she said.
Yeah, I didn't even get that right.
No, I'm kidding.
To be a good leader, you have to be observant. So,
oh, God.
Too good. It's too good.
That's why you're the leader.
You can write that one down. Be more observant.
I'm too senile for that shit.
I'm still meditating. Meditating harder.
Okay. All right, you all hear like a series. It's the same, the croaks and the chirps that I talked about when you were long resting or trying to long rest. You hear some more of that kind of issue out. And it sounds like kind of frustrated voices. You hear again, well, why are you really here?
I told you. My people have been attacked by undead creatures coming from this direction. We're hoping to unravel the mystery and end the suffering. On our way, it seems like we picked up a new mystery with this ash being everywhere. So now there are two reasons for me to be here.
Or chirps, and then how do we know you're not just part of Zektul's revenant? Like, what are you not? You could be more undead. Could you prove it that you're not one of them?
Bazell turns to Quill and asks Quill to cut his arm.
She doesn't do it herself.
It's like borderline by proxy shit, man. Real good coping skills.
I'm going to...
Bazell realizes she could just pee or poop, and that would prove it too.
Oh my god. Can you do that here?
I feel like a zombie might still poop. I don't know.
I don't think undead pee or poop.
Bazell doesn't poop.
That's true. Yeah, true. Bazell would just have to pee.
Yeah, Bazell could maybe pee a little bit, but tinkle. Bazell would tinkle for sure.
You're not wrong. Bazell is a tinkler. That's true.
I was going to pray to Selune to ask if I should follow this direction by Bazell.
It's going to make me look up like the whole lore for a random Forgotten Realms god that I know nothing about.
Yeah, sorry. It's
sorry.
Really, it's just a good, like, I'm looking to the guidance of a good god that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I just, yeah. So it doesn't necessarily have to be.
No, I like it. You don't have to
conform to that, but yeah.
No, I was just giving you shit. It's always good when you guys give me random material. Make a religion check for me.
Jesus.
Oh, my.
Well, that was good.
Yeah, you get to roll again.
Yeah. Sweet. Thank fucking God.
Okay.
No pun intended. 19.
19. the prayer was, is this a good idea?
Yeah.
To do this. Okay.
To cut myself. To cut myself. At the direction of.
To cut yourself in an effort to prove that you're not undead to these people.
Yeah.
Right. That's a chaotic good goddess that you're praying to.
Yep.
You spot an owl at the edge of the tree border. Yeah. That just like looks at you. It's got like you catch its eyes, and its eyes are like crescent moons instead of just like normal pupils. Mm. And you hear in your voice a voice in your head that says, "Yeah, fucking go for it, dude."
All right, I immediately stand up and I bow and then I stand up and I take out my spear and I drag my spear across my hand and then I do it to the other one and I put my spear back on my back and I walk up like this.
Dude.
Showing the blood.
Badass motherfucker right there.
Okay. How much damage is that? Is that two hits of a spear?
Yeah.
So go ahead and roll a damage against yourself, I guess.
That's just damage.
Yeah, just damage because you're allowing yourself to be hit.
Jesus, there I roll well.
There's your high roll for the night.
18 damage, I guess.
Cutting yourself.
Fucking brutal. you gash like so deep into your hand that you're like catching tendon. And these guys are like, you hear a voice like, "Whoa, holy shit!" Did you see what he fucking did? Yeah. Okay. God. All right. Fuck. Okay. Yeah. Just come in.
that was enough.
Yeah. A couple of brightly colored. Let's see. They're mostly green. Mostly green. Bright green tree frog hands reach out and part some of the thick vines. And it's dark in there. You can't really even see it very well.
I take my glow orb out.
Okay.
So we can see what's going on.
I still heard that, Casey.
I know.
Very offended by your coughing noises.
Yeah. Sorry, Harrison, for your later editing.
It's fine.
You got some...
My death rattles.
That'll be fine.
Yeah, so... I sit down and thank you guys for letting us in. Do you guys have any information on, I mean, anything really? We need to know everything you know, if that's cool. Who knows the most?
Yeah, so, well, you walk in and you're, like, holding your drift globe aloft with its light cantrip. Yeah, hey, well, I'm Quix. Sorry about the rough meeting there. You really can't trust anyone these days.
Oh, that's okay. Do you mind if I keep some of those for a necklace? They're kind of cute.
It's like, yeah, they are kind of cute. That's you're not wrong. Okay. So standing in front of you is a small humanoid poison dart tree frog looking guy. He's got like bright green skin. That's still like slick. It's not covered with ash. Kind of spotted with little black spots randomly, and he's got a couple stripes of orange like on his throat and on one of his on the palms of his hands. He's wearing a dark cloak and holding a little blow dart device in one hand, and then he's got like a lunamoth that's perched on his shoulder. That's like much larger than your standard lunamoth. It's like almost the size of his head, pretty big. And that moth is like emanating a little bit of a glow. And as you look around, when you walk into this place, it's dark in there, and it's kind of warm, much warmer than it was outside. And it's the vine cover pretty much blots out the outside light, and so you're in this very dark space, but there's like these little dots of light that are kind of flitting around from these moths that they've kind of, these grung have cohabitated with. There's him, he's got his blow dart, and then there were three other grung kind of perched in trees watching you guys. You're not really in a village or a encampment proper. This is kind of the edge of the forest, so you're just at the border. And he says, I mean, you'll have to be a little more specific. Where are you guys from?
Well,
not well, here.
Yeah. That's a complicated story.
Obviously you're not from here. You're not a humanoid tree frog. That's fine.
I cast disguise self and I now look like a tree frog.
He's like, whoa, he looks at Rick, he's like, whoa, you can do magic. That's really cool.
Yeah, thanks.
We don't really have much of that around here. Just my sister. She's kind of the shaman. Anyway, I'm talking too much.
Is your sister hot?
My sister's a frog, dude.
I think that puts you actually in a much better position to know if she's hot or not.
Give me perception checks or insight if that's better. That's fine.
Oh, 21.
A 7 for me.
12 was 4 or 16.
Okay.
13.
I heard a 21 was the best and a 16 was next.
21 was me.
Everyone, so Quix, this green skinned poison dart grung. I'll start calling him grungs. He has a blank look on his face, but Quill and Theron spot the other tree frogs that are like hanging out in trees and they're nodding. They're like, yeah, she's hot.
Yeah, she's hot.
I'm not saying anything because they're not really like in command, but
that is such a great visual.
I go nice, and then I like go dab up the other tree frogs.
They just croak at you.
Nice. Yeah.
I guess how long have I have a lot of questions for you. What was your name again? Sorry.
Quicks.
Quicks?
Quicks.
Quicks.
Like I'm quick, but with an X.
Quicks. How long have the Grung lived here? I mean, were they part of the great upheaval?
Well, I don't know what that is. We've been here for as long as I can remember. It's kind of our little swamp, our little corner of the swamp. Things have gotten worse lately, but
when all the other people got here, is that, well, first of all, sorry to tell you that your friend died. Secondly, when did the ash start coming down for you?
Yeah, you clocked that they all look pretty upset, visibly so by that news. And Quick kind of shakes his head and he says, I knew that was a fool's errand, but we had to try something. He's one of the only ones of us who can write in your language, so we thought, you know, we'd send him out. The ash has been going on for a little while. It's, yeah. Do you know, what do you know about it?
Less than I thought I did. But apparently it's coming from a spot, and it was, at least some of the energy was generated by some monsters there. But we defeated the monsters.
Oh, well, that's good news. But it's still kind of been happening, though, right? I keep seeing it.
Yeah, well, we were trying to figure out where the monsters were coming from. So we were, you know, we may be part of the problem at the moment. But that's because we didn't know it was a problem until now.
Hmm. Well, it's kind of become a huge problem out here in this corner. I mean, that's why... I have a guess as to why all the undead stuff has been happening.
Well, why do you say that?
He explains to you that the Grung have a caste system, like a caste society, where their level and their hierarchy is based on their skin color. It is what it is. I didn't write it. There was a noble Grung that had bright gold skin. When he was seeing all those people being devastated by all this ash that suddenly was belched into the air, he was kind of driven mad, and he went off back behind the wall. They don't know what he did back there or what, you know. He says, "Well, I mean, he has a lot of like weird artifacts, and like he's got access to magic that we all didn't want him to dig into, but he was kind of the boss, so he left, and then the undead started coming."
This is Zektul?
Yeah, Zektul, yep. Kind of a douchebag name, if you ask me.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything.
So anyway, we're all just trying to get by. I occasionally go out and check out the wall, but it's dangerous, and my sister, Zara, she's our shaman. She's closest thing to a leader that we have, and she has some innate magical skills. So she's been trying to develop like a salve to deal with the ash problem. It's kind of a temporary measure. I don't know. You guys said you were the first thing I heard was that you were interested in the undead, and that kind of made me nervous, and that's why the darts started flying. What did you mean by that?
We've been getting attacked by the undead, and we were hoping to stop the attacks.
Okay, like what was your plan?
Figure out what's making things undead and then make that thing dead.
Pretty bold. I think he's kind of a strong dude, especially with whatever he's tapped into. I mean, he was just one guy. Just one frog guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty strong. So, you know, there's that.
Rick's flexing.
Which is nice.
All right, Rick, give me a performance.
Ooh, 19 for Rick.
Looks good. He looks good. He looks vascular, dude. Fucking. I'm not sure if it's like the whatever your disguise self spell, if that kicked in at all, or if you've been kind of hitting it. But he's like, oh, dang, that guy's fucking ripped. Dang, you look really good, man. What's your secret?
I did a cycle.
Oh, it was anabolic steroids. Okay, well. Yeah, we all kind of thought that.
Well, Does the ash pose any immediate threat to you?
I mean, we're kind of stuck. You can see what we've done with all the vines. Did you notice all that stuff? I mean, it didn't used to look like this. It was just kind of a dead forest with trees, but we've been out there gathering vines and weaving them and kind of making a ceiling. And then we brought in these silverwing moths, and they've been the source of illumination and, you know, and joy, I guess. They're kind of pretty.
Are they pretty? What does Bizzell think about a moth? One of these luminescent moths.
Lunawing moths are actually quite pretty. Yes. Bizzell will be all about this here. I'll give you a, there you go.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, Bizzell is into that. Are there any hanging out with Bizzell by chance?
You could try to attract them to you.
Definitely going to do that.
Okay.
What's
your move?
Thank you for asking.
I have two requests of you. One, could you sign this for me? And then two, what are the moths into? How can I befriend a moth if my glow orb is too much?
Yeah, well, that's intuitive. The glow orb is going to be too much for sure. I would drop that probably. And I mean, I'm a ranger, so I kind of just like have a natural connection with animals, but they seem to, we hang up these little paper lanterns around and they seem to kind of like, you know, because when they get in them, those lanterns, they sort of like incandesce and, you know, light comes out. So I guess if you can make a pretty like paper lantern, that might work.
Did you just ask Bizzell to craft? Fucking A, dude. Give me that shit. I'm crafting a paper lantern for sure.
Okay.
What would you like, sleight of hand or performance?
Hey, this is like art, so I'd say performance.
Excellent. 25.
Wow. Okay, you make like a multifaceted, you know how like round cut diamonds are designed to like catch light and shoot it back out? That's like what you've made with this I guess you had some cardstock on hand. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold that up and one of them flies in it and flits around and it like glows a little bit and then a few more come over. And so you've got this little, calling them silver wing moths. They're like the real Luna moth, but they're more tame, like white silver color, not green. So you've got a little lantern. That's cool.
Well, Quicks, should we deal with the undead problem first, or should we see if we can stop the ash? What do you think like, would be more helpful?
Quicks is like staring at the lantern you just made, like on the fly. It's like, dang, you're really good at that. I'm really sorry I tried to shoot you with darts. That's really nice. That's the best one I've ever seen.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should probably go talk to Zara. She's kind of the queen.
Does she make fast fashion sold primarily in Europe?
I give you the blankest stare.
Got it.
what is that?
Let's do it. Bizzell suggests that everybody come with all the other grung.
Yeah, they're kind of so it would seem that Quicks is so they're all green skinned grung that were out like patrolling the wall. Quicks seems a little bit better equipped than the rest of them, and seems to be kind of the captain of the watch for tonight, and he's identified himself as a ranger. His Luna moth or silverwing moth is larger than the other ones. It seems to be like his companion that kind of just like floats by his head, and he says, "Yeah, sure. You know, I'm getting a good vibe from you guys. So why don't we go back to our camp? Listen, don't bring anybody else back here though. Okay, this is kind of our secret and our last chance as a society, I think, to survive.
I will promise you that I won't bring any back here unless it's a matter of life and death."
He spits like a glob of greenish yellow saliva on his hand and holds it out to shake your hand. Bizzell.
Hey, Quill. You might want to use the back of your hand, but I need you to like.
The bloody hand that I have. I slap into his hand, or I spit into it, and then I slap his hand.
Okay, make a con save with that exposed wound.
Yeah. Bacteremia time.
I'm rolling rocks tonight.
Finally, a good roll. Okay. You feel like really dizzy, kind of drunk for a minute. after the handshake, but you managed to shake it off. All that pappy.
Yeah.
Gave you some tolerance. Yeah. So he guides you. The rest of his rangers fall into formation behind him. People are like, some of the grung behind him are like using like underbrush to wipe their, you know, the trail of everybody off of the ground to cover your tracks. That was part of why it was so hard for you to like see anything gazing into the forest. So these people seem to be pretty skilled, like natural survivalists. And as you get closer to their encampment, you start to see the occasional like little small like treehouse, like built not high up, just maybe a few feet off the ground. You know, for parts of this trip, you're wading through brackish swamp water. There's fish occasionally, and like every so often, a grung will just like shoot its tongue out and grab a big fly out of the air and eat it, like mid conversation.
Wow.
Wow.
And I'm so disgusted. That'd be cool.
As you get closer to the encampment, you start to see that there's more of these tree houses, and they've actually fashioned like vine bridges that connect between tree houses. They're on, you know, dry ground above the swamp, but they have this like ceiling of thick vine canopy above them. And you start seeing these like little paper lanterns hung where the luna moths or the silverwing moths are starting to gather to kind of light your way. And Quix, you know, as part, I think you asked the question, what problem should we tackle first? What was your question? The cauldron or the undead?
Mm-hmm.
He says, yeah, I mean, either is good. I don't know. Do you have any sway on what's going on at the cauldron? You're describing this like volcanic maelstrom I didn't even know existed.
I mean, we could make that problem better, but it's going to delay fixing the undead problem by at least two nights. And every night the undead attack, and it didn't seem all that abnormal for people to die in those attacks. So,
I mean, I guess it's up to you. I didn't even know you guys were coming today, honestly. So,
yeah, I think probably the undead then. I hate to put more stress on people than we need to.
Just to confirm, so this guy went up behind the wall because of the ash?
The timeline that you're getting is that this was a caste society at one point in time. That's how they were arranged. And they had a noble lord that was named Zektul, who had access to some powerful artifacts that people don't really know much more about. When the cauldron started spinning up, which would have been when the device was first thrown in there, I believe, which was kind of towards the start of our story. So like, I don't know, half a year ago, give or take. All that ash and, you know, dust coming out of there is what kind of coated their whole environment and was killing a bunch of them.
Got it.
That drove this noble leader mad because he we don't really know his motives yet, but he was upset by that. He ran off behind the wall for cover and they didn't see him again. But then the undead problems started happening and they come from that area behind the wall. Does that make sense, timeline wise?
Yeah. I just wish there were a way to, you know, fix this problem and bring your leader back. Was he a good leader before this all happened?
Was he just in that role? He was fine. He wasn't as mean as some have been. Give me an insight check.
Ha.
There you go.
Oh, okay. 20.
Yeah, it's
30-20.
Clear to you that Quix did not like Zektul at all by his mannerisms when he says that he was just fine.
Is there another gold leader in waiting?
He says, no, as you know, as far as I'm concerned, we could just fucking do away with that whole thing entirely anyways. Mostly greens out here, and a couple you saw, the blues are kind of our artisan guys, and red, kind of like our spiritual religious leaders.
That's all I need to know. Let's go take this undead horde out.
We just gotta like all go there? Are you sure?
I'd like to spill the tea with Zara first.
Okay. You are starting to get into the heart of camp. You start to see that there is a very like a dimly lit fire that's like blue flame, like blue and green flame. It's kind of matching the ambiance around you as the pale white light from the moth light up the green vines above you. And you see perched on a tree branch, another grung, a female. She has shiny red skin and is wearing a oversized leaf as a cap over her head. And she has a green tunic on and some like blue wrappings on her arms and legs, and is carrying a crooked, knobbly wooden staff as she gazes over the fire.